Please turn with me once again to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 5, and we shall read from verse 21. Mark chapter 5 at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Amen. That Mark, as well as Matthew and Luke, records the account of the raising of Jairus' daughter. And there are similarities between the raising of Jairus' daughter and the raising of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. A request is made to Christ to come and heal a loved one who is sick, but the request is not granted immediately. A greater miracle will be performed instead. Jairus and his wife experienced a great difficulty. They had a great burden, but the Lord granted them a wonderful blessing. Jairus' faith was tried and greatly tried, yet it was rewarded, greatly rewarded. There is a lesson there, the trying of our faith. If it is genuine faith, it will be tried, and that will be for our good. The exercise of faith is the strengthening of faith. It is like muscle. The more you use it, stronger it becomes. And will we not desire that, each and every one of us here? Not to have little faith, but great faith. Not to have a weak faith, but a strong faith. This event took place after Christ had delivered the man with many devils. That took place in the country of the Gadarenes. Christ then crossed the Sea of Galilee in order to return to Capernaum. That was where his ministry was largely undertaken at this point. And when Christ disembarked from the vessel, a large crowd gathered, and soon this man named Jairus would be part of that crowd gathered around the Lord. And there will be the raising of Jairus' daughter. On this occasion, we wish to consider particularly Jairus' request, the request that he made of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing we shall consider, with God's help, is this: Jairus at Christ's feet. Jairus at Christ's feet. There in verse 22, And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. This is a blessed thing. to be at Christ's feet. But how was it that Jairus came to fall at the feet of the Lord? He was, after all, a ruler of the synagogue, the local synagogue in Capernaum. That meant that he directed its affairs. It probably meant also that the interpretation of the law was given to him. He had that position of authority in the synagogue. But were not the Jews, by and large, especially the religious leaders among the Jews, opposed to Christ? Yes, they were. But not all of them, as this incident reveals. We think of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, one of the ruling party. But he came to Christ. He visited Christ by night, for he had questions. And he knew that Jesus was a teacher. He addressed him with the name Rabbi. And he would ask questions of the Lord. You also have Joseph of Arimathea. He is described as a counselor, indeed an honorable counselor. And he did not consent to the condemnation of Christ when Christ was before Pilate. And it was Joseph who requested of Pilate the body of Christ in order to give it burial in his own new tomb. And then we have in John's account of the gospel and chapter 12, these words at verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That is instructive, is it not? There were many, even among the religious leaders, who believed on Jesus. They recognized in the person Jesus of Nazareth someone sent from God. How far they went in their faith, we cannot say. Seems that many were torn one way and the other. And sadly, and it's not confined to those days, it's with us today, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. If it was to be a costly thing to follow Christ, well, they would not do so. They would rather have the peace they enjoyed and not cause difficulty for themselves or for others. Put her out of the synagogue. That was something to be feared. It was to be cut off from Israel. It was perhaps to be denounced. And so many were not ready for that. But there were those whom the Lord blessed, even amongst these leaders. And some, like Nicodemus, at the last, would be open in their profession of faith in Christ. And they would acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior. And that may be something that some of us even here need to consider. What think ye of Christ? Do you believe him to be the Son of God, the Lord's anointed, the Savior of sinners? Have you believed on him to the saving of your soul? If that is so, then there is one thing to do. That is to declare it, to make it known, to be a public witness on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are secret disciples. We would that they would become open disciples, because that will bring blessing to themselves and blessing to others. Jairus saw Jesus. No doubt Jairus knew Jesus by sight. They were in the same locality, and Jesus was well known in Capernaum. Until this point, Jesus had been hidden by the crowd, this great throng of people gathered around Jesus. But then Jairus got a sight of Christ. And we're told what Jairus did. And this is a very important thing. Jairus, seeing Christ, goes to Christ, and he falls at his feet. Does not matter how many are there to see it. Does not matter what they might think of him. He goes to Christ, and he falls at Christ's feet. Why did he do that? Well, he was expressing something. He was giving honor to Christ. And there was reverence for Christ. This man had something of an understanding, a true knowledge, and we may say faith in Jesus Christ. When you have that, when the Spirit of God has done a work in your soul, well, then you bow down. You humble yourself. You fall at Jesus' feet. That is not how it is with us by nature. When our pride is intact, we will not bow the knee to Christ. The Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is, at the last day, when Christ judges all mankind. There's no doubt then concerning who Christ is. Lord of all, King of kings, God's only begotten Son. But the Lord's people willingly and gladly, as enabled by grace, bow the knee to Christ here and now. A work has been done in their souls. The pride has been stripped away in great measure, and their eyes have been opened to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. May I ask you, if such a work has taken place in your soul, has your understanding, your mind, been enlightened in the knowledge of Christ, his divine person, his atoning work? Do you know him in his offices as prophet, priest, and king? Do you believe that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and then rose again and ascended up on high to sit in that place of honor at God's right hand? Do you know him to be the only Savior of sinners? Well, you then will be bowing down. You will be giving glory and honor to Christ, and you will not mind what others may say or think of you. It's a matter of the heart. Christ has won the heart. He's drawn the soul. Christ has brought a sinner into union with himself and that sinner, now one of the Lord's, will not be silent and will make known that faith and that trust in Jesus Christ. Jairus was giving honour to Christ and reverence to Christ, but there's something more. When he fell at Jesus' feet, he was expressing his dependence upon Christ. A felt dependence upon the Lord Jesus. It was like this with him. He had no one else to turn to. No one else could help him with his daughter sick, grievously ill. He had no help of man at all. He went to Christ. We should be like Jairus. We go to others. We make refuges for ourselves when there is any sense of need, personal need, spiritual need, when we have a true sight of our sin. We'll find a hiding place. We'll go there. And perhaps God will not trouble us anymore. And our conscience will be quiet. That's how we are as sinners. Until the Lord both instructs us and enables us. Then we will leave every refuge of lies, and we will go to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. We know then that there is no one else who will do for our souls. Are you like that? In all your troubles, soul troubles, as well as other troubles, you go to Christ. May we say that we all belong at Jesus' feet. That is where we should be. And you will find Mary, and you will find others, the disciples, of course. That is where they were. They sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be taught by him and to share their burdens with him. A precious friend, a friend of sinners, a brother born for adversity. Jairus at Christ's feet. The second thing that we are to note is his plea, his plea. In verse 23, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. When you think of Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, you imagine, do you not, a man of authority and influence and probably of some wealth. He may have had a fine dwelling. He may have had earthly riches. But these things were of no avail to him when trouble came. Trouble did come. You see, you can have material possessions, and many of them, but they will not shield you from trouble. They will not keep you secure from trouble. Sickness and death, these are great levelers. They come to the rich and the poor alike. They have no respect for our status. And here is Jairus, a man who many might look up to, but he has this great affliction, this sore trouble, his daughter is sick. And we see how he refers to her, my little daughter. That is an affectionate term. She is dear to him and his wife. And we learn that she was just 12 years of age. She was his only daughter, and she may well have been his only child. And now they were in danger of losing their only child. She was grievously ill, at the point of death. Matthew has even more profound words in connection with this. In Matthew's account, Jairus tells Christ that his daughter is even now dead. How do we explain the difference in the accounts? Perhaps in this way. Perhaps Jairus thought that in the time it took him to find Jesus, leaving home, finding Jesus, his daughter would have died in the ordinary course of things. We may certainly say this, given what we know of this young girl and how sick she was. Her case seems to have been hopeless as far as man is concerned. There are physicians on earth. We are thankful for them. They are God's provision. Ordinarily, when we are sick or a loved one is sick, we will turn to them. And we will have a certain trust and confidence in them that they might be able to help. They might be able to recover the one who is sick. But even when you do that, you're putting your trust, are you not, not in those men and in their powers, but in the Lord working through them, using them as his instruments, making use of the skill he has given to them to bring help to the one who is sick. But with regard to Jairus' daughter, things seem to have gone beyond that. Perhaps physicians had come, and all to no avail. But Jairus knew what to do. He sought out Christ, and he went to Christ. He was a God-fearing man. He was a ruler of the synagogue, so we would expect that. But he also seemed to have a certain trust and confidence in Jesus of Nazareth, a recognition Jesus of Nazareth was sent from God. Sufficient faith to come to Jesus with a plea. An earnest plea. He besought Christ greatly, literally for many things. But the essence of it was this: my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her. A strong plea. God delights in that. We are to make our needs known to the Lord. Christ once had dealings with a blind man, and he asked the blind man, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? When the need was obvious, he was blind. He needed his sight, but he would have the blind man make it known himself and in his own words. And here is Jairus, He's making his request. And it's in his own words. Are we like that? This is true prayer. It's coming from the heart. It's worked in us by the Spirit. Gracious desires and gracious faith, whereby we believe that the desires we raise up to God, God is able to answer. We're asking for things agreeable to God's will. We cannot say whether it is his mind at that time to grant us that request, but we make it because we have a warrant in Scripture to make it. And we have promises in the Word of God to encourage us in making it. God is the healer. God is the great physician. God desires the good of his people. God will give blessings, bountiful blessings, to those who seek them from him, honoring him, reverencing him, depending upon him. Come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. Jairus certainly believed that Jesus was able to heal. Christ, of course, by now had performed many miracles. Miracles of healing, the miracle of deliverance for the man with many devils, and others so afflicted. Christ's fame was spread abroad. The people spoke of him. But Jairus seemed to have a particular faith and confidence that Christ would be able to help him with regard to his daughter who was so very ill. He was in earnest. And the question for us is this. When we pray, are we like that? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It must be the prayer of faith. Prayer of confident expectation in God. That he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the question for us is this. As this man was in earnest regarding his daughter who was so grievously ill, are we in earnest about our souls and the souls of others? Because in the end, that is the most important thing. We have every encouragement to pray for those who are sick. The Lord may heal, or the Lord may not heal. The Lord will bless. But what of our soul? All too easy to be thinking of earthly good and neglecting the welfare of our never dying soul. We are on the way to eternity. Time is passing quickly. This life is a preparation for the life to come. And the one thing needful is to be going to Christ with our guilty souls, acknowledging that on account of our sin, we're deserving of hell, eternal punishment, but pleading with the Lord earnestly, fervently, that he would take pity upon us and be merciful to our unrighteousness. Sometimes we hear the term, we may even use it ourselves, a poor soul. You see someone perhaps who's in poverty and difficulty, no end of outward afflictions. You may see them even on the streets of our towns and cities, sitting perhaps on the pavement, hoping that people will give them money. not always sure what they will do with it. If we have the opportunity, we might ask them how we can help them and secure that help for them. A poor soul, we might say. But who is really the poor soul? It's not the person who might have outward affliction. It is the person who is not right with God, who is still in his or her sin, who's on the broad way, who is lost. And think of the other Lazarus, laid at the rich man's gate, full of sores. And people would have pitied him. A poor soul. Only the dogs for company. But wondrously we learn from Christ's account that Lazarus was a believer. At some point perhaps in his affliction, he had begun to seek the Lord because he also recognized that he was a sinner and in need of salvation. A poor soul is the one without Christ Jesus, the one without divine forgiveness, the one without the hope, the sure hope of eternal life. Our third and final point. Jairus' faith. To consider that. Jairus' faith. Now we've said that in making his plea, he believed in Christ's power, Christ's ability to heal the body, to heal his sick daughter. And that is evident because when he makes the request, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed," he adds this, "and she shall live." If the Lord would come, if the Lord would lay his hand upon her, well then, she shall live. And we believe that to be an indication of his faith. However, Jairus seemed to think that what was required was for Christ to come and lay his hands upon his daughter, that Christ must be physically present and physically touch his daughter in the way of healing her. He had faith, but it was not the faith that another had and was commended for, the centurion of whom we read in Matthew chapter 8. You remember the centurion? What was his confidence in Christ? It was this: if Christ simply spoke the word, issued the command, his servant who was sick of the palsy would be healed. And the centurion was able to give a cogent reason, an argument to Christ as a centurion. "I have men under my authority. I issue them my word, my command, and they do it." Well, Christ was far greater than any centurion. Lord of all. And the centurion believed that Christ might simply speak the word and his servant would be healed. The faith of Jairus was not, at least not yet, as the faith of the centurion. But Jairus' faith, we believe, was genuine, sincere, which is the chief thing. It was of grace. It was of the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in his heart. If it had not been, then Jesus would hardly have gone with him to visit his home and to heal his daughter. And yet, Here is the mystery. Christ will not lay his hands upon Jairus' daughter and heal her. Jairus' daughter will die, but Christ will then take her up by the hand and he will raise her with a spoken word. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is there in the Word. It is there in the Scriptures. It is there in preaching. Now many today somewhat despise or diminish preaching. They feel that there are other ways, better ways of doing the Lord's work. And you may go into many places of worship and the preaching has perhaps even a lesser place than singing or some other activity which purports to be the worship of God but is not according to Scripture. But the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And how shall men hear the gospel? It has to be preached. Certainly you may read the Scriptures, and you should, for yourself. Pray over them that the Lord would bless them to you. But it is needful for us to sit under the preaching of God's word. That is not just for the mission field, going forth and sowing the good seed, preaching the gospel of Christ. It is for the congregation. When we gather on the Lord's day, a variety may be present. Those who are the children of God, those who are still far off, ignorant and out of the way, and they need to hear the call of Christ. Christ is pleased to issue that call through the preached word. Value then preaching and pray for those who minister the word, that they may be led by the Lord in what they preach and enabled by the Lord in preaching. Above all, that God's blessing would rest upon that word that goes forth from the pulpits of our land. Jesus goes with Jairus, and the people follow Christ and they press upon him, this great crowd. This was height of Christ's popularity. Things would soon take a different turn. Within a short while, there would not be great crowds, or if there were, they would not be acclaiming Christ. They would be denouncing him. They would be calling, "Crucify him, crucify him." How fickle the people were. When there were miracles, people would follow Christ. But when Christ would preach and teach himself, and perhaps speak hard sayings, there would be those who would turn away. Erstwhile disciples who would turn back. You must beware of that. We are to listen to God's word. We are to receive with meekness the engrafted word. We are to embrace the teaching of it. When we find that teaching to be comforting, but also when we find it challenging and when we find it convicting. And that is the mistake of so many. They perhaps go to public worship one day. Something is said from the pulpit, and they feel as though it's aimed at them. It hits home. It troubles them. Makes them feel guilty. And they are not comfortable with that. Or perhaps it's the doctrine of the cross. The offense of the cross. The only way of salvation. By Christ and his righteousness alone and nothing of ourselves. And our own works or worthiness. And people who hear that do not want to hear that again. No, we must receive God's word. Search the scriptures, whether these things be so. And if they are so, embrace them. And learn from them. Christ goes with Jairus. Before Jairus' daughter is raised by Christ, that we shall learn, God willing, later, Jairus will witness the power of Christ in the healing of a woman in that very crowd. And this is a remarkable thing, is it not? The earnest plea has been made. The fervent request. A man in his need looking to Jesus for help. And his daughter in immediate need. And rather than Christ go with Jairus, there and then, to Jairus' home, the Lord will pause because there is someone in the crowd who is in need of healing, and Christ will bring blessing to that woman, as we shall see, the Lord willing, on another occasion. But Jairus is there, and Jairus will see and hear what takes place with the woman with the issue of blood. And seeing that will surely encourage him, even though there is an apparent delay in Christ answering his own request and coming to his house and healing, in the event, raising his daughter. And can we apply that to ourselves? When we see the Lord blessing others, answering their prayers, when we see others who are blessed with salvation, sinners like ourselves, there should be encouragement for us in what we see. It should encourage us to believe that the Lord is able to do the same for us. And especially with regard to the matter of salvation. Some perhaps go for a long time. They believe they have been praying to the Lord to have mercy upon them. To give them a new heart, to change them, to make them a child of God and an heir of heaven. The Lord does not seem to have answered their request. Well, look to others, see what the Lord has done for them, learn their account of how they sought and found the Lord, and the Lord found them. And that will be good for your own soul. And the Lord may make use of that for your lasting good. Jairus' request. At Jesus' feet, the right place to be. A request in earnest. As all the desires we bring to God should be. And his faith. He believed that Jesus was able to heal. And if Jesus would come, then his daughter would live. May the Lord grant us such faith, and may we exercise it to his glory. May God bless his word. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, wilt thou work in us by thy Spirit to strengthen our faith. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, that we would be calling upon thee in the utmost confidence, knowing that thou art able and thou art ready and thou art surely willing to help in our troubles. Bless those who need thy salvation. Set them praying, seeking, and make thyself known in the gospel. And the glory shall be thine through Jesus Christ. Amen.